changes. I've entitled today's message, Things That Never Change. Is our world changing today? Oh, leaps and bounds. It's changing by the second. One study said more information has been produced in the last 30 years than the last 500. We can see that, for instance, change in how automobiles, let's take for instance, now they got backup cameras, they got warning signals on the mirror, they got almost drive themselves, set the temperature at a certain spot and it stays that way. Farming practice, nothing to it anymore. You just get in the tractor and put the planter down and go to sleep till you get to the end. Warning lights for that, and just such a change in farming from when I started in banking in 71. You know, an 80 bushel corn crop was tremendous. Now what is it? 150 plus. So things change. Air travel. From the Wright brothers to the supersonic jets, passenger planes with over 350 people they can carry. As we were closing on our house here a couple weeks ago and signing the purchase agreement with the ones in Sioux Falls, he flies F-16s for the guard down in Sioux Falls. And as we were meeting at the realtor's office, he came in his flight suit. And I says, where have you been? And he says, well, we just flew down to Salina, Kansas. Flew down there for a little bombing run, practice type, and we just got back. I said, oh, well, how long did it take you? And he said, about 40 minutes. Change in air. Change in the medical field. We looked at the medical field, and I'm sure some of you, or maybe many of you, have been in Sanford where you parked in that parking lot and you walked down through the tunnel and see the history of the medical field with the different caps they wore, the different instruments that they used, and the gurneys and whatever. But what a change, huh? Now they're doing from laser surgery to robotic surgery, same day surgery, no days staying in the hospital, transplants with organs. Our bodies change. There's another change. We change depends on what we eat and how we exercise, but change is there too. And I'm so thankful for changes in our world today. But these are not only changes in our world, but there's some changes spiritually that never change. And I pray as we come this morning that through God's word, that he is going to change us in some way, that it's his word that is being shared, it's not my word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for changes. Changes in our world, those are good, but some changes are not good. But we thank you, God, that we can stand on your word. We can trust in you, God, that you've given us your promise. You've given us your covenants to restore us, to help us, to lead us in the right way. So, God, I pray today that as your word goes forth, that there will be changes. Maybe there needs to be some correction in all our lives. So I pray, Lord, that you would be praised through this message today. In thy name we pray. Amen. I won't have you get up, but the title again is Things That Never Change, and it's from Malachi 3:6. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. God is describing himself in this verse and declaring who he is. The word Lord in this verse, in the Hebrew word, is I am the Jehovah. I am eternal. I have made heaven and earth. I am the God in Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the first, I am the last, I am the beginning, I am the end. In this verse this morning, God is addressing the people of Israel, promising them through his covenant that he had promised through Abraham and the nation of Israel, as we read in the Old Testament. I will not change my covenant with you. I promise you, I will protect you. I will watch over you. I will lead you. I will get you to the promised land. God is also declaring in Malachi, I change not. God is also saying in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. We have a lot of shifting shadows in our spiritual world today, don't we? The world trying to draw us here, trying to draw us there, trying to say that the word is not true, that there's error, that God is a God of all love, that we don't have to confess, that we can believe the way we want, we can believe he is the trees, believe he is things. No, God hasn't changed and he never will. And Hebrews 13 is another declaration from Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. So this morning, let's look at just a few facts which God is not going to change. First of all, God is not going to change the way he feels about people. God is not going to change the way he feels about people. 1 Timothy 2:4 said, God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. As we celebrated Easter a few weeks ago, do you remember when Jesus was addressing and was being arrested and placed before Pilate? And Jesus said in John 18:37, you are the king then, Pilate said. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am the king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify about the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Then Pilate asked, well, what is truth? The truth was Jesus Christ himself standing in front of Pilate. He was standing right there. But Pilate didn't change. He denied the truth and washed his hands of his decision. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God will never change the way he feels about you, because he died for all, because his unchanging words and promises never change. Are you believing in a risen Savior today? Are you believing that Christ can work a mighty way in your life, that he can change you? Maybe you're here this morning struggling with a spiritual life, some unconfessed sin, or maybe living in sin and under conviction, or having a hard time to find time in your life to spend time reading God's word, attending Bible studies, attending church, having a prayer time with God the Father, or asking God to help you in a situation. I found a pretty good illustration for our spiritual life. What happens when we don't allow time in our lives for the source? The source changes us. The source is Jesus Christ. Getting too far from the source. A county hired a person to paint fresh yellow lines down the middle of the county roads. The first day, this man painted an astonishing 4 miles of road with new double yellow lines down the middle. This was a record. No one had ever painted that many miles in one day. The boss was very impressed. Although still good, the second day the man painted 3 miles of yellow lines. The third day the man managed to only paint 2 miles of the yellow lines, which is not very good. The boss thought that the man maybe had a bad day. So on the fourth day, the man only painted 1 single mile of yellow line. The boss had no choice but to call him into his office for an explanation. The man began to tell him that the painting of the lines was getting more difficult every day, and his progress was less because every day he was getting farther away from his paint bucket. As Christians, our lives get harder to live the farther we get away from the paint bucket, from the source of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? I've experienced that. I think you have experienced in your life. When you don't spend time with the Lord, things don't work out so well. You see, what happens when we get so far away from the source, Jesus, we allow the world to change us. So maybe one of your descriptions, maybe you're like the painter in the first day, where you have devotions, where you have Bible time, where you are studying, where you're praying time, maybe going to church, maybe you're outreaching on your own. Or maybe you're like the second day, reading the Bible, some study, some prayer time, some church, no outreach. Or maybe you're like the third day, Bible reading, no study, or no devotions. Or maybe you're like the fourth one, your spiritual life does not include any of these. It's sad when we leave Christ, when we allow the world to take us into that world. We get out of control. We see that in, we can see that in our lives where all of a sudden things just start going beyond of what they should. And we allow that. Matthew 16:26, Jesus said to his disciples, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul?" On our sign out here, I don't know how many of you read it when you come in, the sign says, "Christ's kingdom is not of this world." This isn't his world. His world is heaven. A billboard at a church said, "Don't make me come down there. God hates sin, but he loves the sinner." Let God change our lives. Let God change us to love him and serve him, to stay close to him, stay close to the source. So God not only does not change the way he feels about people. Secondly, God is not going to change the way he feels about sin. God is not going to change the way he feels about sin. Romans 12:9 says, "Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." That cling in Hebrew means to hang on for your dear life. Don't let Christ get away. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get so far away from the source that you've lost sight of it. Billy Graham said about sin, "We live in an age when sin is winked at and where God is treated as one who is soft-hearted and understanding, tolerant of all those who break his commandments. People today find it difficult to believe that God hates anything, much less sin." Dr. Menninger correctly observed the absence of the concept of sin in our contemporary culture when he wrote the book, Whatever Became a Sin. I tell you that God has not changed his mind about sin, though some may be pretending it does not even exist. The reason God hates sin is that sin is which, if left unforgiven, sends men and women into the timeless eternity in hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to him. Sin does not bring honor and glory unto Christ, does it? It only brings glory unto Satan. People may label sin, well, it was just a little fib. I only changed a little bit on my income tax. I only looked at a little pornography, not a lot. I compromised in my spiritual life just a little. I probably should have been more strong in it. But sin is still sin. Sin in Jesus' time is the same sin today. I believe it was well said by D.L. Moody. You might change the label on the poison bottle, but it still remains poison. Sin is sin. Sin is death. If God was going to change the way he felt about sin, he would have done that 2,000 years ago when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. God is not going to change the way he feels about sin. Thirdly, God is not going to change his plan of salvation. God is not going to change his plan of salvation. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We see in society today how so many are relying on their works to work their way into heaven. Some are relying on buying their way into heaven. Well, I give a lot of money. I give to this and I give to that. I give that missionary, I give this much church. Some are justifying their sin, justifying their time that they were going to spend on devotional and reading the Bible or studying with something else. Prosperity preaching. We hear a lot about that today. That if you do good, that if you really do good and give, God is going to bless you. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else. None of these that I just read. It's only in Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given to men which we must be saved. Works, money, justification, prosperity, ourselves, is not going to get us into heaven. These verses' words point to God's unchanging plan of salvation. There's only one way, and that is through Christ, by which every man, woman, and child can be saved. Salvation is through grace alone. I believe we are really living in a time of grace. I can't understand humanly why God doesn't come down here and burn up this earth for what's going on. But it's in his time, in his way. He knows exactly when he has to come. But I just pray that you're living a life when he does come, that he can say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:11, no person seeks God. No one seeks God. All have turned away, but God in his mercy made a way for us to be restored. It was a cross. Yeah, and our human, we're going to battle. Someone asked me that, well, I've been battling this, I've been battling that, and battling thoughts about God. When is that going to go away? It's only going to go away when Christ comes. Satan is always going to be there. He's going to be alive. But again, greater is he that is us. He's left his Holy Spirit within us to fight Satan, to make choices, make good choices. Jesus' blood flowed at Calvary. We had the cross up here. We took it down last Sunday. But that blood on that cross has not dried up. It's still flowing from Calvary. And it'll flow till he comes. It'll flow over you and bring a change in your life. A change that you'll never, never regret. God is not going to change the way he feels about people. God is not going to change the way he feels about sin. God is not going to change his plan of salvation. So if you're here today and haven't allowed Jesus to change your life, why not do that today? Accept him as your Savior. What a rejoicing that will be. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time of God's favor or mercy. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for you to make that decision, if you haven't already, to allow God to change your life. D.L. Moody quoted, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Isn't that so true? When we like to take hold of the steering wheel in our life and we're steering away and everything's going all good and all of a sudden, flat tire or someone pulls out in front of you, sickness, cancer, death, very evident today, isn't it? But how people, and how David, how he trusted in the Lord, praying that God would restore him, and here he is. And others too can tell about great miracles in their lives that happen through prayer. God's unchanging promise to you today is found in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that blood at Calvary that is still flowing, that hasn't dried up. I think of the nail holes that were placed in that cross, of people's different needs, whether it was spiritual or whether it was physical. God, I just pray that you met those needs. Thank you for the blood that made us white as snow for those who are trusting in Christ. That God, you are so great. You are so merciful. You are so loving. Teach us, Lord, to be the same. Teach us, Lord, to belong to you. Teach us, Lord, to hunger, hunger for the source of Christ. In thy name we pray.